This is Erin Blanding, and today I'm interviewing Raymond Allen for People Science. And today we're going to talk about his research and these interesting times we're living in. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Hello, hello. Hi. Hi, everyone.
Right. So I'm wondering if, just to get started, you could talk about your research and possibly what impact you hope your research has on your field.
Yeah. So, as you said, I'm Ray Allen. So I'm a graduate student at Duke University, and so I came in through their developmental and stem cell biology program, and I joined their biology department. And I'm a member of the Maclay Lab, and so the Maclay Lab does research on early embryo development, and so we use the sea urchin as like a model organism, and we use it to study how genes interact with one another and build gene regulatory networks. And so we look at that in the context of just general early animal development and seeing similarities between it, but also some of like the biomedical impact it has. And so we are also interested in epithelial to mesenchymal cell transitions, and so that's applicable to research in cancer as well. And personally, for my research, I look at how embryos recover from injury. And so early on in embryo or in the sea urchin, you can remove cell populations, and these cells are supposed to build the skeleton of the embryo, and they're the only ones that are able to do this. And when you remove them, actually, other cells that are never supposed to become these cells come and replace them. And my research is trying to figure out like what that genetic mechanism is behind that. And then as a minor, I am minoring in science and society, so I'm looking with an emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion in science. And to address the other part of your question of like what impact do I hope that my research has on my field, in the context of my bench work, I'm just kind of hoping that I will be able to contribute to the background of research that's been done on this cell reprogramming process, and hopefully can add another key component for future researchers to look into. But in the context of my minor, I'm actually very much interested on broadening the impact of like science, society, and culture on one another. And hopefully I can get scientists to un or sea urchin scientists to understand like why the sea urchin is important in other contexts, and to talk to the general public about like why it's important to study like the sea urchin even beyond this like biomedical context.
That's super cool. So we've all been impacted by everything that's going on right now, and I'm just wondering, what impact have COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter movement had on your research?
That's a good question. So early on with COVID-19, see that happened around mid-March. So I'm hoping to finish up in the next year or so. And with the impact of COVID-19, they closed all the labs on campus. So I wasn't actually able to do a lot of this like bench research that I was talking about, which gave me all of this extra time to start digging into some of the literature that is important for like writing my thesis, but also research that I found, or not research, readings that I found important for my minor. And so I actually was able to read a lot more books about different topics, like one talking about let's see, it's written by Dr. Kim Tallbear. It's called Native American DNA, I believe, and it talks about some of the history behind like this concept of like race and genetics and genomics that's currently talked about a lot, and especially like in the instance of tribal belonging. And so it was a book that I had like had on my shelf for a long time to read, but now with COVID, I was finally able to like start digging into that and start building like my background literature so I could hopefully start citing it in my future work. And then when the Black Lives Matter movement started gaining momentum around the middle of the pandemic, it actually opened a lot of doors for me, because some of like the background work that I do is I volunteer a lot for diversity, equity, and inclusion on campus. And I felt like there was always this barrier for topics that we could talk about. So race, I think, was a very touchy subject for a lot of like non-Black Indigenous people of color to talk about. to the point where I was helping organizing a book club on this book called Superior, The Return of Race Science. And I was actually beforehand, like, worried that, like, there would be backlash behind talking about this book. But now that this is happening, I think a lot of universities or individuals are now more open to talking about this. So it's like allowing me to move forward a lot quicker, which is, I greatly appreciate that.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really interesting, the shift of attention that's happening. And I'm wondering, I'm very excited by all of the, you know, conversation I see happening. And I'm wondering, what excites you most about the uprising happening today?
Well, kind of jumping off like my last point about things like making things move quicker, I feel like I've spent these past 3 years, well, I'm thinking about this in the context of like my graduate career and like the work that I've been trying to do here, is like, I feel like I've spent 3 years getting myself and other individuals to the point of like talking about some of these issues. But now that this uprising is happening, like, I think things can move at a quicker pace. So one thing that I've been trying to like push for and I've read about is having like more structural changes in academia. And so actually putting like your money where your mouth is, and in the concept of departments and just universities in general, to start funding some of these initiatives. And so a lot of students do a lot of this unpaid labor, especially Black, Indigenous, people of color are doing this unpaid labor and not reaping the benefits that maybe a faculty member that put something on their CV gets. So like within this time, we had put together like a proposal to fund a TA-ship, so a teaching assistantship for students to teach these topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And because of this uprising, it was moved forward pretty quickly. Like people were aware that we're trying to do this, and it was something that they could grasp onto and try and fund like right away. And there's still been like, it's been very much an uphill battle, but now my hypothesis is that like we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for like the uprising happening, and this would be something that they would kick the can down the road again and again. So that's a very like specific anecdote, but I feel like things are moving quickly with this momentum. And yeah, I guess that's all. I'll leave it at that for a moment.
Gotcha. Well, that's really awesome. And, you know, kind of going off of what you said, talking about, you know, structural change and lasting change, what do you think is the first step in making STEM more welcoming to people of color?
I think a way to start doing that is to start early in STEM for talking about some of these issues or some of these topics to make it more inclusive. So thinking about myself when I was an undergraduate student, I very much, and some of my peers, bought into this idea, like, you need to be this type of person and do X, Y, and Z in order to succeed in STEM. But I think if we move beyond that narrative, and by when I say we, I specifically mean people that have more privilege or higher power in the concept of academia. So that includes graduate students, faculty, and other like senior researchers, is that they need to be having these conversations with themselves in order to change the way that they're interacting with younger students in STEM. And so younger being individuals in undergraduate, individuals in high school, and even at the elementary school level, to like start early on, because I feel like it's hard to change something just at the level that I'm at in graduate school.
Gotcha. And so I'm wondering, you know, based on your experience, what advice could you give a young person of color navigating STEM?
So my advice is to find your community. And by that, I really almost mean finding individuals that you can relate to. So I come from a tribal background. So I'm Native American. And it's something it wasn't drilled home when I was an undergrad, of finding a Native community. But now that I'm like in graduate school, and I found it's harder to find people to relate to, just in like a general academic sense, because when I first got here, the only thing that students wanted to talk about was science. And at some point, like, it was drilled in that like you only talk about science, and if you talk anything about else outside of science, like something's wrong. And so I very much now actively look for like finding community members or people that relate to me and building upon that and building upon it for future generations. So like this community continues to like be present. And I think one of the narratives that's talked about in science or STEM in general is like, you need to do everything by yourself. And I think that's a very like Eurocentric or very Western style of thinking of like this individualistic mentality. And if you can't do it by yourself, there's something wrong with you. And I think that's very problematic. And people need to be able to recognize the people that have helped them and the people that they're helping as well. And realize like we're all part of like different parts of a community and overlapping communities. So something that I would just recommend to individuals like in STEM in general, kind of on these topics, is to be as multidisciplinary as possible. So read literature and talk to people that are outside of your quote unquote field, because I think that will have like the biggest impact on yourself and the research that you do, and try and integrate it as much as possible and talk about it to different people, but in a way that is not filled with jargon or in a way that is, I guess, almost elitist. So be able to learn as much as you can from diverse perspectives and be able to disseminate some of that knowledge that you pick up, especially from like a decolonial mindset. So try and decolonize these concepts and like spread the word about them.
This has been Aaron Blanding, and today I spoke with Raymond Allen about his research and these interesting times we're living in for people science, and thanks for tuning in.